Happy Mother's Day, right? Happy Mother's Day to our moms, and praise the Lord for our four brand new families that have been added to God's kingdom this morning. Yeah? We welcome you into the family. Amen. God's family. Praise the Lord. And if you need Bibles, as Pastor Carol mentioned, Cheryl, just stand. You and Ruben, stand. They will have Bibles for you if you need Bibles. And they want to spend about 5-10 minutes with you if you have the time. All right? All right. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. You know, I came across this story, and I think all of our moms would enjoy and to really see the importance and the impact the role of our mother makes, as we have heard from that video. But it's called For You, Mother. And it goes like this. This is for all the mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, cleaning up spewed out hot dogs and apple juice, saying, "It's okay, honey. Mommy's here." And this is for all the mothers who showed up at work with dried milk in their hair and on their blouses, with diapers in their handbags. This is all for the mothers who sat in the hot sun on wooden bleachers at football and soccer games, right? So that when your kids ask you, "Mom, did you see me? Mom, did you see me?" And you said smilingly, "Of course, I wouldn't miss it for the world." And this is for all the mothers who sat down their children and explained about how children come about. Talking about the birds and the bees. Amen. And this is for all the mothers who read Goodnight Moon twice a night, all for a year, and then read it again just one more time. This is all for the mothers whose heads turn automatically when there's a little voice that calls out "Mommy" in a crowd, even though they know their children are at home. Amen. That's the mama bear instinct that they have in them. This is for all the mothers whose children have gone astray, who have not quit and given up on them. This is all for the mothers who bite their lips till it bled when their 16-year-old girl comes home with a dyed hair green or purple. What's that? Oh, tattoos, okay. This is for all the mothers who visit and put flowers, pinwheels, and teddy bears on their children's graves. This is all for the mothers of children who have severe health limitations. Your freedom has been exchanged for a cherished service of unconditional love. This is for the mothers whose mothers have passed away and would give anything to take them out for lunch today. Yeah. This is all for the young mothers who stumbled through diaper changes, sleep deprivation, and for mature moms who are learning how to let go. This is for incarcerated mothers, military mothers, working mothers, stay-home mothers, single mothers, married mothers, for women who do not have children but choose to mother other mother children's, being a mentor, foster care, and teacher to them. Our mothers are incredible. This is all for you. So hang in there. You are doing an incredible and awesome job. Amen. So in saying that, if you are a mother here, a mom, a mentor, we want to honor you and say happy, blessed Mother's Day. And if all our moms can stand, if you're a mom this morning, we want you to stand and we want to recognize you and honor you. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. And if your mom has passed away and transitioned to heaven, let's all throw them a kiss. My mom and Pastor Carol's mom have transitioned, and they're there. Amen. We know that they're with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God for them and the time that we had with them. Amen. So happy Mother's Day. We honor you. We thank God for each and every one of you. We love and appreciate each one of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But turn with me to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. It seems like I'm always going back to the Psalms, which is a good thing. Psalms 139. We're going to look at verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation. And you know, the first thing I noticed in my Bible on the top, the subtitle says, "You know all about me." You know all about me. How many of you know God knows all about you? Right? He knows all about you, right? How many of you know he knows the amount of hair you have on your head? And the amount of hair that you lost. Amen. You know, how many of you know that all of us have unique fingerprints, right? And he knows about that. In fact, specialists tell us that a child's fingerprint is developed in the mother's womb while they are 3 months old. Their fingerprints are already ingrained in their hands. And God knows that. He knows everything about them. He knows everything about you. Amen. In Psalms 56, you don't have to go there. I'm just reading this. He says that every tear, I think it's in Psalms 56, the Passion Translation, every tear that you've cried, sorrow or joyful tears, he collects every tear, right, teardrop that you had, and he collects them and puts them in a bottle. That's how much God knows about you. And you know, it tells me that God is a personal God. That he's into details about you. Everything about you. That he would consider even taking all of your tears that you've cried and every tear that you've joyed about, and he collects everyone and puts it in a bottle. And the Bible says he puts it in a book of remembrance. Isn't that incredible? That's how intimate that God knows about you, about your life. Amen. And here as we're reading this morning's title, I want to call it, You Matter to God. Turn to somebody and tell them, you matter to God. Yeah, you do. You matter. Amen. And in verse 1, if you don't have the passion, I'm going to read this. If you don't have a passion this morning, I would recommend just listen, all right? Just listen to it. And it says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. How many of you know everything is everything? Yeah. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters into my mind. Wow. God's 10 steps in front of you, right? You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak. Before I even start a sentence. You know every step I take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. Man, that's incredible. And in your kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You laid your hands on me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. You understand, your understanding of me brings me to wonder and strength. Where can I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there also. If I fly with the wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. You matter to God. Yeah. By reading this text, it tells me that you matter to God and I matter to God. All people matter to God, right? And I believe that if we are brutally honest with ourselves, you know, deep within each one of our hearts, I believe there is a genuine desire to be valued, right? To be wanted, to belong, to be needed, right? Because we all want to feel some sense of importance, that we have a purpose, that God has a purpose for our lives, right? And that our lives do matter. That none of us are here just taking up space, right? But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Maybe two questions. How valuable are you? And secondly, what determines your value and your self-worth? Yeah. How can you measure your value and your self-worth? Right? Is it found in your ability? Is it found in your skills or your talents? Is it found in your certifications and your accomplishments? Or the amount of money that you have saved up? Or the investments that you've made? Is that how we consider our value? Is it your portfolio in the stock exchange? Is it the toys that you have bought and accumulated? Is it the materialism of things that we've accumulated throughout our lives? Do that determine our value? Does that determine our worth? I mean, don't get me wrong, you know? Accomplishments and the things that we have worked hard to obtain is great. But my point is, does these things determine one's value and one's worth? Because we're talking about if we matter to God, right? And I matter to God. You matter to God. Amen. Now think about this. Do you think what determines your value? Do you think that God uses the same kind of standards in determining one's value and one's worth? Right? Because the Bible says that His ways are higher than our ways, right? And His thoughts are higher than all our thoughts, right? Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His thoughts and His ways are higher than ours. Amen. So maybe, could it be, God thinks differently about how valuable and how worth it that you are? That your Heavenly Father might think differently about how valuable you are to Him. Because your life matters to Him. And the basis of His value is not determined on the things that we have or the things that we deem that are valuable. Not to Him. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of people who base their value and their worth on things. You know, I've read and I've heard about, and you might have as well, about different athletes, right? Great athletes in football, baseball, who've shared their testimonies. They are Christians now, right? Who were blessed with skills and talents that allowed them open doors to make millions upon millions of dollars. Achieve great success, achieve their greatest dreams, won Super Bowls, won World Series, etc., etc., obtain sponsors, rings, trophies, all the accolades to prove, right? To prove their value and their worth. Yet the reality is when they're alone, all by them, lonely selves, the truth is they feel empty and they feel lost. Surrounded by all their things. Amen. Some even considered and contemplated ending their life, ended it all. Yeah. And yet having all these things, can buy anything just like that. Yeah. Having Lamborghinis, every car that you can imagine in their garage, and yet they're lonely and they're empty. Turn to somebody and tell them, you matter to God. Your life matters to God. Now think about this. With the same mindset, that same mindset can operate in someone who's lost. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost, right? These who have devalued themselves, low self-esteem, low self-worth, they don't have the financial resources. They're having to struggle through life for every nickel and dime. Just trying to get ahead, right? And thinks, man, this is a bummer life. If I was to die, would anyone even know that I existed? Because my life doesn't matter to me. So why would it matter to somebody else? And there are people who feel that way, that their life does not matter based on having nothing. In comparison to somebody who has everything, there's a parallel, right? You can have everything and your life doesn't matter. You can have nothing and your life doesn't matter. It works both ways. But it matters to God. It matters to Him. People matter to God. Therefore, people, right, ought to matter to us. Yeah. The harvest, right? The harvest that is ready to be reaped ought to matter to us because it matters to Him. Amen. You know, I came across this story. It says in 1905, a box was shipped from South Africa to England. There was nothing special looking about this box. It was just an ordinary shipping box. But inside this box was a rock. It wasn't just an ordinary rock. The rock was a diamond. I can hear the ladies drooling. This rock was the Colinan diamond. What is the Colinan diamond? The world's largest diamond, weighing 3,106 carats. Oh, now you're drooling. Oh, put away your knives and forks, ladies. That's a big diamond. That's a lot of carats. Which was a present for King Edward VII, for a guy. For his 66th birthday. You would think of diamond at that massive would be for his queen, right? A woman. But it was for him. My point is, you and I may look ordinary on the outside, like every ordinary person that we come across. You may feel like you just an ordinary person today, just like everybody else. But listen, your life is far than ordinary. Yep. Amen. Amen. The moment you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you went from being mere ordinary human being into extremely extraordinary child of God. Amen. And God is your Heavenly Father. Because of whose you are and because of who's living inside of you. The moment Jesus Christ came into your heart, into your life, for those of you this morning, you became valuable to Him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7, I'm reading from the Passion, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within us, which is the Spirit of God, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's and not ours. Yeah. You see, church, our value and our worth can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. It cannot be found in nowhere else. It cannot be found in the things and the stuffs that we have. Because the things and the stuffs that we have can come and go. But it doesn't determine, devalue, or depreciate our value and our worth that we've obtained in Christ. Amen. It cannot. As sons and daughters of God. Listen, your life is more valuable than this Cullinan diamond. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than silver. It's more valuable than any precious mineral. Amen. On this earth. In fact, all of these things that we consider to be valuable and precious metals, guess what? God uses it for building materials for His building in heaven. He's got streets of gold. He's got jasper walls and diamonds and rubies, all for His building. He's not focused. Wow, check this out. I mean, it's like us taking asphalt and glorifying it. Here, wow, check this asphalt I've got. Don't ever go to heaven and start admiring the golden streets. People are going to look weird at you. Why are you glorifying the asphalt here in heaven? We glorify Him. Amen. He's the treasure. He's what made us valuable and worth. Amen. Nothing else. So now we have to change our mindset. Renew our mind to think in that pattern. That our value is in Christ because His word says that we are. It's not based on everything because you can lose everything and still have your self-worth and your value. Yeah. As a son of God, as a child of God. Because Father God said, His word says, right? So your life in Christ matters. Because you are valuable. You are significant. And you are living your life on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. Fulfilling the plan of God for your life. Amen. And our new brothers and sisters, right? You are living your life with a purpose, for a purpose, in fulfilling God's plan for your life. Amen. And Holy Spirit is going to help you. And you have brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to help you. Somebody say, I matter to God. My life matters to God. How many of you know our mothers matter to God? You know, this is not a traditional Mother's Day message, right? In fact, Pastor Carol and I were talking the other day. She says, I used to always minister on Mother's Day. But I said, the schedule is this way. She said, okay, cool, we'll just do it. We'll just go with the flow. Amen. But our mothers do matter to God. And our mothers do matter to us, right? Think about this. Without Jochebed, there would not be a Moses. And without a Moses, there wouldn't be a deliverer for the people of Israel. Without a Hannah, there wouldn't be a Samuel, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, whom God used mightily, who was involved in anointing two kings, right? Without Manoah, there wouldn't be Samson, a judge whom God used to defeat the Philistines. Without Nisvet, there wouldn't be a David, whom God made a covenant with, that a king from David's legacy would rule and reign forever. Talking about Jesus Christ. And without Mary, the mother of Jesus, there wouldn't have been Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Lord. Amen. So our mothers matter to God, and mothers matter to us. In fact, all people matter to God. Right? So what does it mean that my life matters to God? What does it mean to you? Well, to me, I'm loved of God. Yeah. When I was looking at that, I was pondering on that. What does it mean I matter to God? Well, I'm loved of God. Yeah. The Bible says that, right? For God so loved, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. I mean, the core of our Christianity faith is based on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, right, but through his Son that the world might be saved through him. Amen. So when I talk about my life matters to God, I'm loved of God. Amen. Do you know that you're loved by God? If you know that you're loved by God, then your life matters. Yeah. Are you valuable to God? Yeah. Are you important to God? Are you precious to God? Because he's concerned about every intricate detail about your life. As we read in the Psalms, right? Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. God not only perceives your movement from the outward when you move, but he perceives your heart and your motives. Man, he sees everything. What motivates you? What passions do you have? What desires do you have? He sees all of these things. Amen. Because you're important and your life matters to him. The Bible says that you are the apple of his eyes. That you are God's favorite, right? Amen. I know Brother Jesse always says that he's God's favorite. But we can say that about each and every one of us. That I'm God's favorite. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. You're God's masterpiece. Yeah. You are God's masterpiece. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like God's masterpiece. Well, find the word where the word says that, right? And renew your mind to what God says. Because I'm not saying it. The word of God is saying this about you. This is who you are in Christ. This is your identity in Christ, that you are a masterpiece. Right? You're not just a etch and sketch. Right? You're not just a quick picture of something. God's designing you as his masterpiece. For what? You ever had some of us grandparents, right? And mom and dads? How many of your grandparents have pictures of your grandkids in your wallet? None of you guys have? Let me see your hands. We all do, right? How many of your parents have pictures of your kids? We all do, right? God has pictures of you and I in His wallet. Masterpieces. I mean, God is a personal God, right? He's the God of relationship. So I have to think the way He is, I am, right? So if He's proud about you, if you're proud about your grandkids and about your kids, guess what? He's proud about us. And He wants to show us off. And there's coming a day where He's going to just pull the curtains. He's going to pull the curtains. And He says, son, it's time. Go get your bride. And He's going to pull the curtain with the bride. And all of us masterpieces are going to be ready. Without spot, blemish, or any wrinkle as such. Amen. Because you matter to God. And your life matters to Him. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image and after His likeness. Man, that you matter so much to Him that He made you look just like Him, both in nature and character. And He breathed the breath of life, His life. The song we sang, His breath is in our lungs. He's the one that breathed that breath in your lungs. The moment that you breathe the first air as a baby, bang, that breath of life came inside of you, and like every parent is waiting for that cry, right? And His breath is still in you. The breath of God, the pneuma, the ra'uch, the Holy Ghost is in you, breathing. The very life, permeating your inward, your inside with the very life of God. God Himself is in you. His breath of life is blowing through you, right? Amen. You know, I heard in my spirit that, you know, how many of you know Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? He has redeemed us. And there's some who talk about that the sins of the fathers, the forefathers, of the fifth, sixth, and seventh generation have been transferred to the next generation. How many of you know the moment you got born again, Christ redeemed us from every curse? There's no such thing as transferring of sins to the next generation. The moment you got born again, Christ redeemed you. He reversed the curse into a blessing. He severed that from our lives once and for all by the blood of Jesus. He took the axe and cut the neck off, and there's no life in what was and no longer will. Amen. So we don't talk about, well, you know, my mom and my dad had this, right? No. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from spiritual death. There's no more separation from God, right? He has redeemed us from poverty and lack and sickness and disease. Amen. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles, you and I. So we are no longer under the curse, but we are under the blessing of God. Amen. Because you matter to God. Amen. In order to receive all of these benefits that God has provided, Jesus laid His life down for you and I, willingly, at the cross. I mean, talk about your life matters. That Jesus was willing, in fact, He left heaven He left glory, right? As we talked last week, right? His story became, his glory became our story. But he left glory so that he could rewrite our stories. He left glory, he emptied himself of his divinity, of his glory, and he came to earth, human flesh, God in human flesh. Right? He left heaven to come all the way down here because your life mattered. And talk about what motivated him to go to the cross. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Who for the joy that was set before him? Who for the joy that was set before him? Endured the cross. What was that joy that was set before him? Your life mattered. It was you. It was me. Yeah. And he endured the cross. Because he saw you, he saw me. Because your life mattered to him. Your life mattered to the Father. I mean, can you count on your hands that anybody would lay their life down for you? Who would willingly give their life for you? Think of somebody. Amen. Jesus did. Greater love hath no man than this, that a brother lived down his life for his friend. Jesus laid down his life for you and I because your life mattered. Yeah. He died and gave up his life sacrificially so that you could live your life for him. Yeah. Father God, who gave and sold his son, Jesus, so that he could have many sons. Amen. That he can have many sons. You know, God, I've said this before, God operates in the principles of his word. And if we operate by his principles, he doesn't say, you know what, you guys do the word. I can do whatever I want because I'm God, I'm sovereign. I don't have to follow my word. But you guys need to. No, he follows the word just like he orders us or commands us to follow his word. How we follow the word is how he follows the word, just like we do. Like father, like son. Right? So if he sows, right? If he sows, which was his son, how many of you know he's expecting a harvest? He's expecting a seed of that harvest, his son. And the harvest, the precious fruit of the earth, says that harvest belongs to me. And I need you guys, I need my church to go out and bring in that harvest that belongs to me. Amen. Church, we're going to have a great harvest. The end time harvest is coming. Amen. Before even Jesus comes back, the harvest has to take place. It has to. But how many of you know who's God? If our lives matter, how much more does other people who don't know Christ matters to God? Yeah. How about this one? If our lives matter to God, does God really matter to us? What he wants, does it matter to us what he wants? What he desires? Shouldn't it work both ways because we're in a relationship with God? Right? Yes, our lives matter to God, but what he wants should be something that matters to him as well. Amen. He wants his harvest. Amen. He wants his harvest. Every morning I pray, Lord, give me a heart and a love for the lost. Give me a love for the lost. Yeah. And when I go out, I start looking for them. I start looking for them. Amen. Let me see. Anybody learning something this morning? Let me end with this one and then we'll find a place to close. In Matthew 18, verse 12, and it's so cool, the praise and worship team sang about it. Matthew 18, verse 12 to 14. And it's a parable about the lost lamb. How many of you know Jesus is the good shepherd? Yeah, he's the good shepherd. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Amen. And the voice of a stranger I will not follow." And it says in, I'm reading from the Passion. It says in verse 12, "The Son of Man," referring to Jesus, "has come to give life to all who are lost." Think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep, and one lamb wanders away and is lost, won't he leave the 99 grazing the hillside and thoroughly search for the one lost lamb? And if he finds his lost lamb, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Now, should you understand, it is never the desire of your Heavenly Father that a single one of these little ones should be lost. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish. Because each and every person that is walking in the face of this earth, I believe there's 7.8 billion people in the world. 333 billion people in the United States, right? Or 33 billion people in the United States. And they all matter to God. Whether they're saved or unsaved, right? And, you know, I make mention of this. You know, we think about, you know, in our human thinking, that why would the shepherd risk leaving the 99 and going after the one? Just let him go. The bug a hot head. Just let him go. You know? How much time I tell him? You know, go. Yeah, go. Go do your thing. Right? Aren't you glad God didn't say that about us? Right? I'm glad that God never deal with me that way. Man. I can confess I was hot-headed. But you know, God specializes in guys who have hard heads. Because he's the only one that can break those guys with hot heads. Right? I mean, you heard Pastor Carol. You know, we go into prison, man. Right, we're going to prison. We go in MCCC, and we see these guys come, right? I mean, they're stone faces, right? And they look like zombies, and they have this attitude, chip on their shoulders when they come in our services, right? And this, it's like they have this attitude like, yeah, go ahead, make my day. Yeah. I will. Or he will. And if you move by what you see, you get intimidated. But if you have the Holy Ghost in you, the greater one, then you're not intimidated. They're intimidated. And man, by the time you were through to the meetings, it's all done. These guys, I mean, crocodile tears are just dropping. I mean, the full on. And it's only the Holy Ghost, right? But God is able to get into the hardening of hearts. We cannot change people. We can manipulate, try whatever we want, do it this way. It'll never work. We can pray. Good thing to do, pray and back off. And let God do what he does. We do what we do, and God does what he does. And see what he does. Amen. But it seems like to leave the 99 just to go after the one, right? Jesus leaving the 99 to find the one seems illogical, irrational, and senseless. Until that one is you. Or me. So when I read that text or I hear that song, it's like, praise the Lord. You know, praise God. I was one at one time. Amen. So it was God who created us. It was God who knitted us together in our mother's womb. You see, God knows every thought you've ever had. He has seen every good thing that you've done. Right? He's seen every mistake we've ever made. He knows our deepest secrets. Amen. God knows everything about us. And because he does, our lives matter. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Father, we were so grateful, Lord, that our lives do matter. That each and every one here matters, Father. That each and every one here, Lord, at the sound of my voice, is valuable. They are significant. They are loved. And they have been fearfully, wonderfully made, Father. And Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, Father, to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. Because, Lord, you have made us in your likeness and image, and that you have marked us with the Holy Spirit, and you have deemed us as your children, God's sons and daughters, and that you have deemed us valuable in your sight. It doesn't pertain to things, Lord God, of things that we've accumulated and things that our abilities, our skills, Lord, the value that we have comes from you. You have made us valuable. And Lord, we renew our minds, Lord God, to the word of God, that we are. Our lives matter and we are valuable because of who we are and whose we are. That we belong to you, Lord, and you belong to us. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen, amen. Amen. I want to do something real quick.